You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
The holly green, the ivy green, the prettiest picture you've ever seen is Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home. It's nice to know to kiss your beau while cuddling under the mistletoe. And Santa Claus, you know, of course, is one of the boys from home. The door is always open, the neighbors pay a call, and Father John, before he's gone, will bless the house and all. How grand it feels to click your heels and join in the fun of the jigs and reels. I'm handing you no blarney, the likes you've never known. It's Christmas in Killarney with all of the folks at home.
And welcome, everyone, back to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, for this hour at least, James Edwards, coming to you live this Saturday, December 7th, from downtown Baltimore, Maryland, where I am attending a speaking engagement. I had written earlier this week on the Political Cesspool's website the fact that this show has been armed with an indomitable spirit and a workmanlike effort over the course of the last 9 years. We've been able to stand the test of time week in, week out. But that indomitable spirit was never more pronounced than it was in our first hour tonight. For the first time since he lost the ability to hear, Winston Smith hosted a show solo. He's certainly been on the air as a co-host a number of times since then, but with the aid of a courtroom transcription, has Winston overcome even the loss of his hearing to host a radio show? Folks, that is no easy task, and that is what we embody here in the Political Cesspool. I wish I could be there in Memphis with you tonight, Keith Alexander. Saturday.
I'm glad you're having a great time. I know you're out there with some great people, and say hello to everybody for me, and hopefully they'll enjoy a abbreviated show tonight. We're just going to do an hour, and then you've got something else, one of our golden oldies, playing in the last hour, I believe. Is that right?
That's right. This Saturday, December 7th, it's been an unusual but very fun show with Winston and Ken during the first hour, the proprietor of Daily Ken.com, what I understand to be a very provocative and enjoyable interview took place that first hour. Look forward to listening to it in the broadcast archives after the fact. Keith and I will be live via telephone this second hour. And then in the third hour, immediately following this, we're going to go into the archives. Not too far back, though, January 5th of this year, almost a year ago now, an interview that Keith and I conducted with Dr. Kevin McDonald. So that's still coming up tonight, folks. The third hour will be a rebroadcast, but listen to it nonetheless. And Keith, that being said, it's certainly a pleasure. I'm like a nervous mother looking after her children when I'm not live on the show. Of course, I had to call in to the omnipresent Sam Bushman before and after the first hour to make sure everything went according to plan. And I should have known it would under his shepherding and marshaling. Winston and the featured guest of the evening did a splendid job, and I had no doubt that that would be the case. My obsessive-compulsive tendencies forced me to double-check, and, I take a lot of pride in our work. What can I say? That being said, Keith, let's get down to the meat of the matter for this hour. A quick hit here to open up the first segment of the second hour. Rand Paul has opened a minority outreach office for the Republican Party in Detroit, no less. So apparently the Michigan GOP is seeking to increase the party's visibility in the Democratic stronghold of Detroit, 97.5% of which voted to reelect Barack Obama in 2012. This is the Republican solution, Keith, is to open a new outreach center for Detroit voters named the African American Engagement Office. The GOP has tapped Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky to headline the official opening of the office, which actually occurred yesterday, December 6th, which will highlight the Michigan Republican Party's outreach efforts and our commitment to revitalizing Michigan's urban centers. We know what that means. You know, but what can you say about the story, Keith, that we haven't said on the political cesspool time and time again over the years? If the Republicans were serious about winning, they would embrace the majority strategy, which would be to target those voters who actually believe in limited government and less welfare and less set-asides and less handouts and less taxes. Those would be your middle-class white voters. It seems, however, that the Republican Party, more interested in winning, they're interested in publicly castrating themselves. I don't think that these people who have subsidized their lifestyles upon the handouts given to them by the Democrats will all of a sudden become limited government Republicans just because Rand Paul is opening an office there. Am I wrong?
No, I think that the brainwashing is well nigh complete now. I think there is nothing in the world as clueless as a mainstream conservative or a Republican or a Fox News listener. These people, despite overwhelming evidence, think that somehow they're going to discover some secret formula to make black people like them. Black people are not going to like them because they see the Republican Party as the white party. That's what Howard Dean, who I understand is revamping his efforts to become the Democratic presidential nominee in the next presidential election, back in 2008, he committed a faux pas and called the Republican Party the white party. That's the way all non-whites see the Republican Party. And if the Republican Party was smart, they would embrace that label and try their best to do some inreach rather than in the white community to draw more people out. They could do that by showing that they really care for white people and will govern in the interests of white people, which is often against the interests of non-whites, particularly blacks and Hispanics. But no, the Republicans can't learn from experience. They are brain dead. It's just, you know, the Democrats are doing just the opposite. The Democrats in 2012 didn't even bother to reach out to white union workers or white working class workers, which has traditionally been their base. Back in the earlier part of the 20th century, that was the people that voted for the Democrats, and it was the South, the solid South, and the industrial areas of the North that gave them their electoral votes. Now they've totally turned their back on any outreach to white voters. They have embraced their identity as being the non-white party, but the Republican Party has white people who are a majority of the voting public in the United States of America, even to this day. They're being handed a winning hand, and they keep throwing the cards back at the dealer's face. You know, there is none so blind, as they say, as he who will not see, and the Republicans are those who just will not see, and they're going to go down in flames again, I predict, unless someone steps it up that understands racial reality. And it's obviously not Rand Paul or his father, Ron Paul. All of these people that we talk to, that we encounter, that are big Ron Paul and Rand Paul fans, I'm sorry, these people are not the answer. They're part of the problem.
Keith, that being said, we're going to take a break, my friend, my colleague, and we're going to go to Matt in New York when we return after these words from our sponsors. James Edwards from Baltimore, Maryland tonight, connecting via telephone to the political cesspool. Keith there in Memphis, and we'll be back in a moment.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Hello, dear friends. It's James Edwards again, and I'd like to extend to you warm Christmas greetings from the Political Cesspool's hosting staff and production crew. We're currently riding a wave of momentum that suggests to me that our radio program is poised to make a major breakthrough in the coming weeks. But it won't happen without your financial considerations, which enable us to meet the rising cost of production. Our critical fourth quarter fundraising drive is now officially underway, and we must have our audience's response. Without you, our work can't survive, which is why I humbly ask that you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org today and make a game-changing contribution that will enable us to sustain the forward momentum. Those who donate $100 or more will receive an exciting Christmas gift from me. Thank you for keeping us in mind during this beautiful season of faith and family. Our listeners are part of our family, and I cannot overstate how vitally important you are to us. We love you. Merry Christmas, everyone, and thanks again for your support.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Christ the Messiah, Savior. Christ the Messiah, Jesus.
And welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program, proudly playing the sounds of the season. It is Christmas time, folks, and if God is willing and Jesus stays is coming, I'll be back in Memphis next week at full strength with Keith Alexander, Nettie the Bombardier Miller in our home studio in Baltimore, Maryland tonight, and I'm lucky to have been here. My flight out of Memphis on Thursday evening was the last to leave the airport before they shut the airport down. Of course, as many of you will know, there is a snow and ice storm gripping the South Central and Mid-Atlantic regions. The flight that I had here was the second worst of my life. I can't remember ever praying as hard as I did during that flight. The turbulence was almost unbearable. You just thought that the plane was going to tear apart at any moment. It was absolutely unnerving. Just prayed, God, please let me return home and see my wife and daughter again. But I am here, and I am alive, and a live wire at that. And if God will grant me the mercy, I'll return home safely tomorrow. If I can get out of here, it's supposed to snow and ice here. I will see. But anyway, Keith Alexander there in Memphis, and we have a caller from New York.
Matt.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm with you guys. Good evening, Cesspool family. How you doing, James and Mr. Alexander?
We're doing great.
Right. I'm calling from the relatively mild weathered New York City right at the moment. I understand y'all down in Memphis are experiencing the storm, as the good people all throughout the South, all the way down to Arkansas and Texas, are experiencing the storm right now.
Indeed.
Right, but it would probably, I have English relatives, Matt, and quite frankly, this type of weather where they get out their swimsuits and head for the beach. But, no, it's not quite that bad, but it is, it's cold, and we had some ice and whatnot. We're expected to get some more. James, what's it like there in Baltimore right now? You said they're predicting this storm coming your way, apparently, but what's the temperature like right now?
Yeah, it's in the 30s. It's cold and cool, but clear, but it's supposed to hit tomorrow, right around the time I'm supposed to take off, so we'll see if I may be stranded here a few more days without any company after tonight. So I'll keep you posted, Keith, and give you tabs.
But you may have to take the mega bus down here, James.
Oh, Lord.
That would be fodder for several shows if you had to take that $25 mega bus from Baltimore to Memphis. I would wait with bated breath for your commentary on that.
I might walk it instead. But, Matt, what can we do for you tonight?
Well, I just would like to reiterate on what Mr. Alexander was saying on the GOP has basically just become the sparring partner for the Liberal Democrats. And I think its days are vastly waning on their political existence. And I think we're going to become more race conscious in this country as far as political beliefs and parties go. And
Hold that thought, if you can, and I want you to stay on the line. I believe we have a clip, Rand Paul's announcement of this, the opening of this office. Can we go to that clip, if we could?
Thank you. It's great to be here. I think the message of liberty is popular no matter where you're from, no matter the color of your skin. We're going to take the message of liberty to every voter in every state, in every precinct, whether it's a big city or a small city. We haven't been good enough at bringing that message. We haven't tried hard enough. Today's opening of this office is the beginning of a new Republican Party. This is going to be a Republican Party that is in big cities and small cities, in the countryside, in the city. It's going to be bringing a message that is popular no matter where you're from, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're black, white, or brown. This is a message that can resonate. People say, well, what are you going to do? Change the Republican Party message to get new people? We don't have to change our message. We need to present our message. We need to make our case. So today in Detroit, I'll be making the case for economic opportunity for Detroit. We'll be bringing some real policies that we think will help Detroit. We've tried a lot of other policies and they haven't been working. I think we need to try something new. We'll be talking about economic empowerment. We'll also be talking about education. We'll be talking about school choice, freedom of choice in education, bringing real choices to people who don't seem to have much hope. We'll also be talking about criminal justice. And I think it's important that we talk about this. You haven't always heard Republicans talking about criminal justice, but I think we haven't treated people fairly. I think it hasn't been on purpose. I don't think it's an overt racism in our justice system, but it's an inadvertent racial outcome to our justice system. The war on drugs has disproportionately incarcerated African Americans and Latinos. 3 out of 4 people in jail are black or brown. And when you do surveys and you ask who does drugs and at what rate, most of these are drug crimes. Whites and blacks use drugs at about the same rate. So do Hispanics.
All right, we've got to stop it right there. Keith.
Yeah.
Keith, please help me.
Well, this is obviously the exhibit one as to why we need to make defeating Rand Paul's presidential aspirations job one. If you don't understand race and its impact, you don't understand beans. What's going to happen is that, the interests of whites and non-whites, unfortunately, are diametrically opposed, particularly blacks. And if we have a Republican Party that doesn't understand that, they're going to wind up selling out their natural constituency. And it's just like Matt said, they're no longer the worthy opposition to the Democrats. They are a sparring partner.
They're the Washington Generals to the Harlem Globetrotters. I mean, that's
exactly
what they are. You know, I wish, Keith and Matt, that Rand Paul was correct in his assessment that the message of liberty would be well received by blacks. I wish that to be true more than anyone, but unfortunately they have proven it, that the case is they are not interested in liberty and constitutionalism and equal rights for all, special privileges for none. They want preferential treatment. And until they prove otherwise, I can't get on the bandwagon that they will accept such an ethos.
Yeah, see, affirmative action is actually anti-white discrimination. That's what we ought to be. That ought to be our new mantra. Whenever anybody that says that you need to give special preferences to blacks, it's going to come at someone else's expense, and the people whose expense it will come at is the white majority of the United States at the present time. And if white people don't wake up and wake up fast, it's going to be an irretrievable situation.
Matt, a final word from you?
Very well put. I'm still here, guys.
Well, tell us
you got the final word before we go to break.
The message of liberty is a fantastic message, but people have to realize everyone's perception of liberty is totally different. And I was speaking with a Guyanese gentleman the other day up here in New York, and their perception of liberty is you do come over here. You do gain government benefits, medical, right to universal medical, and someone else pays for it. So liberty is not, you know, it's not necessarily a means to an end for everybody. Certainly not our.
His liberty will be, you know, when Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death, his liberty will be the death of the America envisioned by the founding fathers.
Yes, sir.
All right, folks. Well, you heard Rand Paul yourself, so you can make your own determination as to where he was going with that, and you can certainly are left to your own devices to critique him favorably or unfavorably. Again, I wish what he was saying was true, but we have no evidence to believe that members of the African-American community, if you will, are going to embrace limited government and liberty as we see it and as Rand Paul envisions it. We got to take a break. We'll be back.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend.
All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
By now in New York City, there's snow on the ground. And out in California, the sunshine's falling down. And maybe down in Memphis, Graceland's all in light. In Atlanta, Georgia, there's peace on earth tonight. Christmas in Dixie.
Amen, amen. Christmas in Dixie and around the world as we head into the special and spiritual season of our faith. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. James Edwards and Keith Alexander. To wrap up the last segment, you know, certainly Rand Paul can go in for a photo op in Detroit and prove his multicultural credentials in a press conference setting. Guaranteed he does not walk around the streets of Detroit without armed security preaching how he's going to downsize government and abolish certain departments in the federal aid without getting shot. It'll never happen. It's just a ruse. It's just a joke. But I'd like to see him try. That being said, I shared with you a moment ago, I guess in the last segment, about my horrendous and terrifying flight from Memphis to Baltimore on Thursday. My plane was delayed for 2 hours before I could ever even board. And while I was waiting in the airport terminal there on CNN, it was wall-to-wall coverage of the death of one Nelson Mandela. When I saw that Nelson Mandela had passed away, and certainly he lived a full life, 95 years of age, it wasn't as though he passed away with children still in high school, as the great Bill Rowland did earlier this year. No, people like Mandela lived to be 100. But as soon as I saw that he had passed away, my first reaction was, well, there's one less terrorist in the world. But I will say this, in all honesty, I don't take any joy or satisfaction in the passing of someone like Mandela. The left, our opposition, on other hand, celebrates our death. They joke and ridicule our death. I don't celebrate the death of anyone, even someone like Mandela. But there should certainly be a counterpoint here on the political cesspool, if nowhere else, to the legacy of one Nelson Mandela. Peter Scoop Stanton, who would have been calling in under normal circumstances tonight, but with this being a unique program, he was bumped to next week. He said that it could certainly be argued that blacks were mistreated in apartheid South Africa in the pre-Mandela era. In the post-Mandela era, however, whites were treated far worse. And that is progress, Keith, in the minds of the anti-white belligerents. Progress is you go from living in a segregated society, and the progress occurs when you can begin butchering and massacring whites with impunity, as is what's happening now. They lived in a segregated state, sure, no different than what Israel operates under right now. No one is criticizing Israel for being in an apartheid state, but we all have heard about the racist and so-called brutal regime in South Africa. But what about now, where whites are being macheted in their homes, the white farmers? That's progress, right, Keith? That's Mandela-style progress.
Well, it's progress for the liberal globalists. that engineered the whole anti-apartheid initiative against the South African government back in the 70s, 80s, and into the 90s. Nelson Mandela was not a saint. He may have a nice, non-threatening approach and persona, but the reality of his life shows that he was basically a terrorist and a mass murderer. What people don't tell you about is the Church Street bombing of May the 20th, 1983. People ask, you know, that, at least I would ask, think that any Prussian person would ask this. If he was in jail for all these many years, what in the world was he in jail for? Well, what he was in jail for was being the mastermind of the Church Street bombing incident on May the 20th, 1983. You don't hear anything about this. Well, what was it? The Church Street bombing killed 19 people, 17 men, a majority of whom were black men, 17 men, 8 black, 9, excuse me, 8 black, 9 white, and 2 women. And that qualifies, 19 deaths qualifies him as a mass murderer. He admitted that he masterminded this, that he approved it, and he was basically a traitor to his nation. He was trying to overthrow the then existing government of his nation. Now, we hear a lot of talk out of blue state America and out of the liberal media about how Southerners and red state Americans who would favor secession from the rest of America are traitors, but this man was truly a traitor, and his actions bring to mind the famous quotation by an Englishman in 1600 named Sir John Harrington, who invented the flush toilet, among other things. He's also noted for this particular quote. He said, "Treason never prospers. What's the reason? Because when it prospers, none dare call it treason." If any white person had tried to overthrow a liberal government, they would be denounced as a traitor. They would be vilified. They would be treated almost as badly as some of these civil rights era people that have been hauled before magistrates for endless trials. Double jeopardy apparently has no application to them until they're finally worn down and found guilty of something. But, you know, Nelson Mandela won. And as his side won, not because of any inherent virtue in their position and not because of their efforts, it succeeded because the South African government and the South African economy were brought to their knees by a relentless campaign of economic strangulation that basically, made them cave in, plus the constant drumbeat of moral condemnation that came out of the liberal Jewish-run media worldwide. If you'll recall, in 1993, when apartheid was finally dismantled, F.W. de Klerk, the white prime minister of South Africa at that time, and Nelson Mandela were jointly given the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, nobody talks about F.W. de Klerk anymore because he was seen as the spineless ninny that he was and proved to be. Nobody respects him. They knew who won and who lost. De Klerk lost. Mandela and the blacks won. And now they are relentlessly and remorselessly persecuting the white minority that still remains in South Africa. These people, white people with PhDs, are living in cardboard boxes in makeshift settlements. Meanwhile, blacks who don't have a high school education have positions of power and authority in that nation. South Africa has the most extensive and thoroughgoing affirmative action program in the world. It's called the BEE, Black Empowerment I forget what the other E stands for in it, but anyway, basically, whites are frozen out of any economic activity. Most of them are on some type of government relief, which is paltry. And there's, you know, constant talk about dispossessing the few whites that have managed to navigate the post-racial atmosphere over there in South Africa now and taking their land, just like the land of the few remaining whites that have, you know, maintained any type of semblance of an economic life, have been dispossessed in Zimbabwe, the former Rhodesia. This is what all white nations have to look forward to if they allow unlimited non-white immigration into their nation. And America is included in that number. Let this be a cautionary tale to every one of you.
Keith, we'll take a break with that, my friend, and come back for the final live segment of tonight's show before going to the can for a great rebroadcast in the third hour. Stay tuned.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Wise up, load up at freezedryguy.com. Now is the time to get the freeze-dried meats, fruits, and vegetables you want from Wise on sale at freezedryguy.com. This delicious, nutritious food is perfect for your emergency preparedness or outdoor recreational needs. It's the food with a 25-year shelf life you see exclusively featured on the popular Doomsday Preppers TV show. It's the same quality line of food the lovely Marie Osmond has been touting all across America. It's the wise investment in your family's future that personal finance expert and radio host Dave Ramsey has been talking about. And it's on sale now through the end of the month at freezedryguy.com. So wise up. Shop online now or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD. Make the wise food choice. It's easy to prepare, easy to enjoy, and easy to buy on sale now at freezedryguy.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, you better watch out. You better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the final live segment of tonight's broadcast. Even though it is only the second hour, we will be shifting back to a previously recorded hour during the third and final of tonight's broadcast. It's an interview that Keith Alexander and I conducted with Dr. Kevin McDonald, the venerable Dr. McDonald. It was aired originally on January 5th, 2013. We're going to revisit that in the third hour so I can get back down to the festivities tonight. And, you know, it's always an honor to be in a room full of fans of this program, and certainly I'm in the company of many of those people and individuals tonight, individuals of the highest caliber. Had a lot of people come up and ask me about Keith and Eddie, and if they would be here, and of course, unfortunately, the answer is no this evening for this particular event, but people aware of the entire staff, fans of Winston. He's going to think I may be blowing smoke at him or pulling his chain, but I have had no less than a solid handful of people come to me and ask me about Sam Bushman and say, could you please tell Sam I'm a big fan? I had one gentleman, I believe it was from Virginia he was, his name is Jason, who said he had had trouble back years ago listening to the archives of the Political Cesspool, and that he had sent in an email to the network for some tech support, and Sam called him, and his jaw dropped that Sam Bushman himself actually called him to work him through a technical issue, and that he has never forgotten that. And so, you know, the work that we do is well received and is not forgotten, and it makes the struggle all the more bearable to know that everyone is so aware of who we are and what we do and the different personalities and the different names, from the those on the hosting staff to those on the network, and of course Sam, the host of his own program in his own right, a bigger show than our own. But it's quite rewarding to have the rare opportunity that manifests itself only a few times a year to come and be in the company of such great people, and I'm certainly here tonight with them. And we'll be rejoining them in just a few minutes after we get through this segment. Keith, there's one more quick hit I want to get to, but before we
let me make one comment. I could, based on the Nelson Mandela story.
I was going to ask you to wrap that up.
Okay, here's what it is. You know, I gave you the Sir John Harrington quote, which was, treason never prospers. What's the reason? For when it prospers, none dare call it treason. That is Nelson Mandela in a nutshell. Another thing is a quotation from Balzac, the French novelist, who said, behind every great fortune is a great crime. Mandela was a very rich man by the time of his death. He was a very powerful man, basically with property confiscated from the white people of South Africa. And he was guilty of a number of great crimes, including the crime for which he was sent to jail, which was the Church Street bombing, in which he basically admitted his complicity in. But the soft-hearted white constabulary and judiciary of South Africa just gave a man who was basically guilty of murdering 19 people life imprisonment rather than a death penalty. And you can see now that it would have been much better for South Africa as a whole if he had been given the death penalty. Why? Well, look at South Africa today compared in the pre-apartheid days. Like Peter Skoop Stanton, they should have changed the law somewhat. But pre-apartheid, pre-anti-apartheid, pre-Mandela, South Africa was a much more prosperous first-world nation than post the anti-apartheid South Africa of today. In fact, you can go on the internet and see photographs of Pretoria and other large cities in South Africa that look, for all intents and purposes, as if they were pictures of Detroit today. The whole place is going to hell in a handbasket. This is what happens when black rule takes over and really gets traction. the same thing that happened in Haiti, the same thing that happened in Detroit, has happened to South Africa, but that is carefully covered up by the mainstream news media. You need to search this out on the internet and find out what the difference is, you know, what the real story is.
Well, Keith, I believe you once said that South Africa went very quickly from being the breadbasket of Africa to the basket case of Africa, and it takes a strong case to become the basket case of Africa, but now weeds certainly grow in the ruins of what once was a first-world civilization there in Johannesburg and some of the other major cities, and we all know why. But the difference is we'll speak...
Apparently Rand Paul doesn't know why, and the major, you know, the news media pretends not to know why, but we're here to be Paul here and tell people what it is.
It's interesting that Rand Paul had his coming out party, if you will, in Detroit, because Detroit and Johannesburg and Pretoria share many of the same afflictions. But that being said, and we're running out of time rapidly here for this segment, we spent quite a bit of time in last week's show. And by the way, Eddie the Bombardier Miller wants to seek his fangs into this as well, and he will be coming on next week when we're back in Memphis and at full strength in the studio. To talk about his take on South Africa. So stay tuned for that. We will revisit this very big development of the passing of Mandela, which, again, we take no joy in. I mean, death, I don't wish death. Unlike those who oppose us, we don't wish death on anyone. But Eddie will be talking about that next week as well, and Keith and I might revisit it also. Last week, though, for the majority of the show, at least the majority of the first hour, I believe, Keith, we talked about the war on Christmas. And we've had some articles on the website this week at thepoliticalcesspool.org to that effect. Well, sent to me by a listener of the show was a quick clip from a National Public Radio commentator, Nina Totenberg. And, well,
gee, I wonder what her ethnicity is.
Well, I'll let people ponder that as we listen to this short clip.
But I want to say one thing about the budget that didn't get passed, the omnibus bill. You know, we talk a lot about, we just passed this huge tax cut in part because business said, you know, we have to plan, we have to know what kind of tax cuts we have. Well, these agencies, including the Defense Department, don't know how much money they've got and for what. And I was at a, you forgive the expression, a Christmas party at the Department of Justice, and people were actually really worried about this. These are law enforcement people who don't know exactly what kind of money they can spend for what.
I don't know, folks, if you caught the pearl of that 30 or 40-second clip, but it was, of course, if you will pardon the expression, I went to a Christmas party, apologizing for saying the word Christmas. This is what they want the new standard norm to be, Keith. Christmas should be referred to as some sort of a curse word, which after using you should apologize for. This is Nina Totenberg for National Public Radio.
Well, it's the result of a concerted Jewish-run effort over the past 50 or more years, 60 years actually, to secularize Christmas, because Jews, who make up today 1.7% of the population of the United States, at least a significant number of them apparently find it offensive to celebrate a Christian holiday. But they certainly didn't find it offensive to come to America and feast on the banquet that had been prepared for them by white Gentile Christians who settled this nation, turned it from an outdoor wildlife preserve into the most prosperous and most industrious and most at the pinnacle of manufacturing in the world back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. They would certainly come in and share that, but they don't have any tolerance for our religion. And we have this crazy situation where in America, because of the power of judicial review as manipulatively used by the Jewish supremacists that are behind liberalism in America, that the will of the majority counts for nothing. They have, you know, they talk now about abolishing our Constitution. We've heard John Kerry talk about it. We've heard Barack Obama talk about it. But they were certainly willing to use our Constitution to dispossess the white Christian majority of the United States. It reminds me of a famous quotation by an Italian socialist from the 19th century named Vilfredo Pareto, who said, when I am weak, I ask you for equality and justice because those are your principles. But when I am strong, I deny equality and justice to you because that is my principle. They have no commitment whatsoever to our Constitution or to the principles upon which our government was founded, but they will use them to dispossess us and dismantle our government. And this is just one very obvious example of the success that the left has had in triumphing over traditional American values. And
Keith, we're out of time. I thank you for your contributions tonight. Folks, don't go anywhere yet, though. Just because the live portion of tonight's show over, don't disconnect until you listen to the rebroadcast of an interview that Keith and I conducted with Kevin McDonald coming right your way here on the Liberty News Radio Network. On behalf of our crew and staff, I'll be back in Memphis with you next week. On behalf of Sam Bushman, who has fans here in Baltimore, I thank him for his contributions to the show tonight, as always, and I will see you next week, folks. Stay tuned for the third hour.